Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to episode 2 of the Split Decision podcast. I am your host, Roman Garcia, with my co-host, PJ Katona. PJ, how you doing today? How you feeling?
Doing all right. A little tired from the weekend, but no complaints. Excited to be back. How about yourself?
Cannot complain either. Heard you had a exciting weekend. Our boy Mike DeWan got a little active this weekend.
Yeah, he did. Mike's gonna have PTSD when he hears you say that. But yeah, no, we had fun. We were at Purdue University, for those wondering, with my good friends, celebrating our friend Mike DeWan's 21st. That campus does not compare to this campus in Bloomington whatsoever. But we had a good time. We had a good time, to say the least.
Well, that's good to hear. Yeah, I unfortunately could not tag along for the trip. Wouldn't really make sense for me to tag along to Purdue with a bunch of 21-year-olds when you're 20. So unfortunate to have missed out on that one, although I did take pleasure in seeing some of the activities that went on down there.
It was fun.
Good weekend. Lots of fights, lots of action. But before we get to this past weekend's fights, we'd like to talk about last Tuesday, week 10 of Dana White's Contender Series, and the main event, Bo Nickel versus Donovan Beard. PJ, how'd that fight go down?
I believe exactly as we predicted. Exactly. I'm not sure. What was it?
We said...
How quick was the finish?
It was within a minute.
45 seconds-ish.
And I remember saying, be there at the opening bout. It's going to last less than two
Bo
and a half
Nickel,
minutes.
Bo Nickel, dude. Wow. I mean, he's a problem. I mean, I'm excited to watch him because he got he's making his debut on December 10th in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Of course, Jamie Pickett, UFC 282. And... I don't know. Once again, Bo Nickel, I believe his opening odds are close to minus 1,000 once again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he
looks real good.
He's going to be an issue for the middleweight division.
Yeah. Showed a lot of skills in that fight versus Donovan Beard. Scores the knockdown, transitions right into a rear naked choke, and then after a little bit of scrambling, gets the triangle choke and taps him out in less than a minute. Very impressive, but wasted no time in calling out Khamzat Chimaev in his post-fight interview. PJ, is that a fight he deserves, or do you think it was more of just, you know, to get some headlines calling out Khamzat?
I mean, I think maybe somewhere down the line I could see mm-hmm. this fight maybe happen, maybe. I mean, it was definitely more for a marketing purpose, I feel. I think he's trying to get his name out there. I don't think anybody doesn't know who he is. I mean, mm-hmm. for those who actually pay attention to the UFC, I mean, I feel like you have to know Bo Nickel by now.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, I mean, maybe somewhere down the line he could fight Khamzat. Probably not anytime soon, but I think he has a little bit of work to do. But, would you agree or disagree?
I would say... he's a very, very high-level wrestler. I want to say, well, he wrestled out of Penn State, and I want to say he's a three-time national champion.
Yeah, I believe it, three
yes.
times.
So he's a very good wrestler. Khamzat, Swedish national champion. I would be inclined to say U.S. wrestling is a higher level than Swedish wrestling, but, you know, we're comparing apples to oranges here. So who's to say who the better wrestler is? In terms of on the feet, I just haven't seen enough from Bo Nickel. I mean, his fights, much like Khamzat's fights, it's kind of he suffers from the same issues that Khamzat suffered from early in his career. He just hasn't had the time to really display what he's made out of. And, you know, in that Khamzat fight versus Burns, say what you will, about Khamzat not running right through him, what you did see from Khamzat in that fight was his ability to deal with adversity. You know, he took some big bombs from Burns in that fight. So, I need to see Bo Nickel a little bit more battle-tested before I see him stepping into the octagon with Khamzat.
I agree.
But he took all the headlines for the week, and that is admirable. But moving on now to this weekend's unfortunate results of UFC Fight Night, Dern versus Yan. Jonan Yan defeats Mackenzie Dern via 5-round majority decision. PJ,
sad.
Sad. That's all there
sad
is.
Sad to say the least. Oh, but obviously, I was busy this weekend, so I unfortunately was not able to catch this fight, although I watched the highlights. And it just looks to me like Mackenzie was just a little out, what's the word, outperformed on the feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked like she had multiple chances to finish the fight on the ground, but just wasn't able to get the get the finish. But yeah, I mean, I personally, I don't think I've ever actually watched Jan fight before. Like, I can't lie. I don't think I've ever watched her fight live before. Mm-hmm. I still didn't watch her fight live, but like, yeah, she looks, I mean, she's good. I mean, it's not a bad loss for Mackenzie. Just unfortunate because like we were mentioning last episode, Mackenzie, like, if she would have gotten an early finish, she had an argument to fight for the title. Mm-hmm. But even if she didn't, she's would have been one fight. I mean, her next fight would have been a title eliminator for sure.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know. You watched more of the fight than I did.
What I saw out of Dern was I saw someone who has improved striking, but they're just there's just no amount of striking defense there. She doesn't move her head off the center line, and Jan was just able to just keep landing that overhand right. And, I mean, Dern was eating them, granted, but just she was never going to score any points eating shots on the feet. She did get her she did get close to finishing her a couple times on the ground, but she was really banking on that to win the fight. And she was close in the second and the fifth round, which were the two rounds I believe she won. She scored a 47-47 on one in the judges' cards, which I imagine had to deal or had to do with a 10-8 round in the fifth, where she really dominated Jan, and Jan was just trying to survive to the end bell. But yeah, I would imagine that a possible fight versus Jessica Andrade is in the future for Jan, maybe for a title eliminator. I do not believe Jessica Andrade is tied up with anybody at the moment, unlike the rest of the strawweights, barring Rose Namajunas. But
who knows what she's doing? But yeah, I think that, I mean, that makes sense, honestly. Excuse me. But yeah, she got a win versus Mackenzie Dern, who's a top five opponent, and now I'm sure she'll surpass her in the rankings. And like we said, Zhang's got Esparza. Marina Rodriguez has who?
Amanda Lemos.
Lemos. Yeah. So, I mean, that makes sense. Potential, a title eliminator.
Yeah. Well, like we said, we big-time Mackenzie Dern fans, and it was just so unfortunate to not see her get her hand raised. I woke up with a little bit of sadness in my heart that following Sunday.
She'll be back.
She'll be back. Don't you guys worry about it. They better spit shine that belt for it. moving on, though, to some of the other notable fights on the card. Randy Brown defeats Francisco Trinaldo via 5-round unanimous decision. Randy Brown, I want to say, is 30, in his early 30s. Francisco Trinaldo, well into his 40s, 42, 44, somewhere in between there. Yeah. So a fight that you would definitely expect Randy Brown to win. And his fourth win in a row. So with that being said, PJ, do you imagine that a top 15 opponent is in order for Randy Brown?
I mean, he definitely has an argument for one. I'm not sure who doesn't have a matchup that he could potentially match up with right now. But, I mean, yeah, he's got an argument. And if not, I mean, somebody else in the same, vicinity as him in terms of, you know, not ranked, but they're on the come up and they've won quite a few fights in a row. I don't know.
Maybe like a Kevin Holland who's coming off a loss if he's not retired.
He's not retired, yes.
That'd be a fight I'd like to see.
That'd be somewhat interesting. But, yeah, I mean, Randy Brown got the win. And, he could definitely argue for a ranked opponent if that's what he believes he deserves.
I'm sure that's what he believes he deserves. But, yeah, impressive win for Randy Brown. But like I said, a fight that I would expect him to win. Other notable wins, Daniel Santos does his best Charles Oliveira impression versus John Castaneda via round two KO. Comeback victory, much in the same fashion of Charles
Very DuBronx-esque right there.
And you might say it has to do with the fact that he is from the same fight camp as Charles Oliveira, fighting out of Shootabox under Diego Lima. Impressive comeback victory. Brings his knee to John Castaneda's dome, and that was the end of the fight right there. Succeeding in flying knees to finish the fight was Joaquim Silva defeating Jesse Ronson. Wow. Brutal. Vicious. Did you happen to catch that highlight?
Yeah. Oof. I don't know how fighters ever recover from like taking a flying knee to the head, to be honest. That was tough. Yeah. Not only did he get the flying knee, he also got some vicious hammer fists in there before the referee was able to step in. So yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see the referee a little quicker to the stoppage right there.
Vicious, violent knockout. And that's how you get your name out here, though.
Yeah, because Joaquim Silva, guess what? You're on the number one podcast on IUS TV. That's how you get your name out there.
Yeah, no. He took care of business as well.
All right, but moving on past UFC fight night, Dern versus Jan. On to Bellator 286, headlined by Patricio Pitbull and Adam Borix. PJ, like we predicted, Pitbull picks up the win versus Adam Borix. What did you make of his performance?
I mean, unfortunately, like I said, I didn't get to watch the entire fight. But, I mean, you know, once again, based on the highlights that I watched, I mean, it was classic, kind of like I predicted. I predicted he would get a late finish or, I mean, I said late fourth or fifth round finish or a decision. He got the decision. Little weird with the scoring because all three judges had different different scores, 48-47, 49-46, and 50-45. I mean, Pitbull's just, he's so disciplined. And what I noticed, Borix, I want to say a couple times he tried those flying knees, and Pitbull, you know, he kept his head off the center line and countered. And, I mean, I don't know, he didn't take any big hits. Mm-hmm. Just doing what Pitbull, one in Pitbull fashion, say the least.
Absolutely. I would say he definitely took that championship pedigree with him into this fight. Fought a smart fight, albeit a little bit of a boring fight.
Yeah.
According to some fans, including myself.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. He was able to secure a lot of good positions on the ground, take top control, even backpacked him. A few times, wasn't really able to do much damage while he got into those position on Borix's back, but control time wins your fights at the end of the day, and that was what he was able to do. He was able to rack up control fights and retain his 145-pound championship. But a former adversary of Patricio Pitbull was the co-main event in AJ McKee, who defeated Spark Carlisle via 5-round unanimous decision. PJ, did you happen to catch any of that fight, AJ McKee versus Spark Carlisle?
Was it 5 rounds, the fight?
I misspoke. Oh. It was 3 rounds.
I was going to say, because it was all 30-27s across. Oh, no, 30, I don't know, it was 30-27, like 30-26, something like that. But yeah, AJ McKee, he looks sharp, lightweight debut as well. So, I mean, I don't know, I wonder if he's going to stay here. I mean, I guess he is, unless... he's going to fight Pitbull again for the third time, which I guess...
That makes the most sense for both guys, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of hope they do it now because, you know, I don't want them to have a couple fights each and then, you know, one of them's not, you know, in their prime or one of them loses.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it doesn't make any sense anymore. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully they fight next. That'd be a good fight to watch.
Yeah. I believe AJ McKee said he has one more cut to 145 in him. He says his body can do it one more time, and you would imagine that if he was going to do that one more time, he'd want it to be in the trilogy versus Patricio Pitbull. And you would imagine Bellator would want that as well. That is probably would be their marquee fight.
I mean, I don't know who wouldn't want to see that fight again. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, both impressive wins from Patricio Pitbull and AJ McKee. And the trilogy is likely something we will see in the near future. But that about wraps it up for UFC 286. Moving on to
Bellator 286.
Bellator 286. My apologies. I am very much missing the UFC right now.
I agree.
On other news, though, Conor Benn takes on Chris Eubank Jr. at a 157-pound catchweight fight this weekend in the O2 Arena. And the tagline for this fight is Born Rivals, and if you need some context as to why, it is because Chris Eubank Sr. took on Nigel Benn in a 1990 fight back in England, and that is an iconic match that went to a draw. And now we will see the two men's sons take each other on this weekend. So that is the big boxing match coming up. And then moving on to some other fight announcements. PJ, what do we got going on?
We got, I believe he's coming off a loss, right? Armand Sarukian versus Demir Ismagulov. I like that fight a lot. That's going to be, I think that's going to be very interesting. A lot of people thought that Armand was going to make a nice title run. He still can.
Absolutely.
Very going to make a nice title run. With, I believe, besides his previous loss, only other loss in the UFC was to Islam Makhachev. Everybody knows who that guy is.
That guy sucks.
But yeah, that fight is scheduled for a fight night, December 17th. And that is the same card as Sean Strickland versus Jared Cannonier. So that's a solid fight night.
That's
for
Yes, absolutely.
Two fights I actually really, really am excited to watch for a fight night.
Hopefully nobody pulls out of that fight. Granted, I think the only reason Strickland's not one to pull out, but did you see what his finger looked like when he pulled out of that Cannonier fight?
I don't think I did.
Oh, my goodness. It was like torn in half and it got infected, which is why their original bout, which was scheduled for October 17th, I believe, had to be rescheduled for December 17th. So yeah, that's a like you said, a big UFC fight night with a big co-main event and main event that I'm very much looking forward to seeing. Hopefully no injuries occur in the meantime and we get to see those two fights go down. I think that Armand versus Ismagulov fight's going to be a very technical fight.
I don't even know who I got. I'd have to I don't know. That's going to be very, very interesting.
Yes, very technical fight on our hands with that one. Moving on though, in some other news, RDA has been booked versus Brian Barbanera for UFC Orlando on December 3rd. PJ, how do you see that fight going down?
Yeah, I mean, Barbanera's, or is that how we say it? Barber, I don't know how you say it. Barbarena, Barbanera, something like that. He got a good a knockout win over the one would say, aged Robbie Lawler in his last, I believe that was his last fight. And Dos Anjos is also coming off a knockout loss versus Rafael Fiziev.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, I think RDA wins because, I mean, I don't know. I just think, I feel like RDA is going to be too quick and he's got his wrestling, jiu-jitsu will be too much for Barbarena.
So you think he mixes in the takedowns? You think it's not a fight on the feet?
I mean, RDA can do both. Mm-hmm. But I think at some point in the 15-minute fight, we'll see RDA in some sort of control, with some sort of control time, and I think he'll get his hand raised.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a fight. That's a not to say Barbarina's an easy opponent by any means. You saw what he did to Robbie Lawler. He's tough as nails. But, you know, in that fight versus a very aged Robbie Lawler, said, you saw him take a lot of shots. And I think RDA is a much fresher and much more game opponent than Robbie Lawler is. So I think this is a bit of a, for lack of a better term, it's a little bit of a softball for RDA. So, you know, get back in the win column. And you pointed out a fight earlier to me this week that you'd like to see RDA compete in, and that is his, a fight that was supposed to occur in, I believe, 2016 versus Conor McGregor. You see that as a good fight for both men?
I mean, I just think it makes sense because, you know, Conor, he's bulked up right now, and, you know, he's trying, it seems like he wants to come back at 170, and RDA is also, he's fought at 170. I think the old rivalry they had, and I know they had, I can't remember when was that? There was some, like, RDA was at, like, the apex, and Conor and him started jawing at each other. What was,
I believe, was that not for Abu Dhabi? Was that not for, was that not him? Conor versus Poirier too, and I think RDA was the backup fighter.
Oh, is that was he? Maybe something like that. But yeah, I just think that fight makes sense. I mean, you know, the person, both of them are not old, but they're both on the
latter part of their
career. But I mean, I would like to see that fight happen at some point. I think it makes sense for both fighters, and I don't think either fighter would be opposed to fighting each other.
Absolutely not. You're telling me Conor's not winning the belt, dude?
No, don't get me wrong. The notorious one will be champion, but This is his, what's the word? This is the start. This is the start of his new title run at 170. Rock, Leon Edwards, you better watch out, buddy.
You know he's gonna hate this part. You know he's gonna hate this part. Ooh. The set.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. But yeah, it's happening whether you want it to or not.
Yeah. Sorry. We had to give my sister a little slack there. She knows Connor's coming for that belt.
Oh, she knows. She knows.
She hates it too.
But speaking of 170/185, Khamzat tweets on Twitter 185 with a couple emojis, and then proceeds to call out Colby Covington.
Yeah.
Who, if I'm not mistaken, is a 170-pound fighter. So, yeah, but the thing is, you and I have been talking about for a while, this is a fight that I think we both love to see. I think it would be – I think, honestly, right now, like, it's the most – besides the Edwards-Usman trilogy, I think that is the most wanted and most – that'd be the most hype fight in the welterweight division.
Absolutely. That's a fight – like PJ said, we've been – both clamoring to see for a while now. I mean, that fight's literally a flip of the coin. You're talking about two of the best wrestlers, not in just the welterweight division, but in the entirety of the UFC.
Yeah.
But two different styles of wrestling, I would say. Khamzat very much is a push the pace. Once I take you down, I'm going to hold you there.
Yeah.
Versus Kobe's kind of just like a consistent, I'm going to grab you, take you down, let you back up so I can take you down again. So maybe in that fight we see the wrestling neutralized between the two due to how high level both men are, and we see a fight on the feet.
It could be similar to Usman and Covington, absolutely, both their fights where, you know, never ever goes to the ground, which would be I mean, personally, I don't know if I can see a fight where Khamzat doesn't take his opponent down at least once. But you never know. Yeah, that's a fight we definitely both want to see, and I'm sure a lot of other UFC fans around the world would love to see that fight.
Absolutely. But who's to say that that's the next fight for either man? Because Khamzat, like PJ said, also said he was, he didn't say anything. He simply tweeted out the three numbers 185, which leads most to believe that's where his next fight lies at. And another interesting fight possibly for Khamzat would be Paulo Costa at 185. What would you think of if that was the next fight for either man?
I also like that. I mean, I like that fight. Costa's he's a big dude, so I think it'd be interesting because, like we mentioned last week, Khamzat is, I mean, he's a very big 170, but he's also big for 185. So, like, I would have to say, I mean, I would also say Costa's got to be one of the, like, of the bigger middleweights. I mean, he obviously had a problem making weight versus Marvin Vettori, so obviously he's a big dude. I think that'd be an interesting fight. I don't see Khamzat losing to Costa, but you never know. I mean, if Costa hits him with the shot, I mean, if Costa connects, anybody's lights can go out.
What I'll say is Paulo Costa's ginormous, and I think it would be one of the few instances in which Khamzat would be facing a guy who is an equal physical match to him. And what you see in Paulo Costa's previous fights versus some very good wrestlers is you see some very good takedown defense. In his fight versus Yoel Romero, specifically Yoel Romero, for you, those of you who don't know, is a former world champion wrestler out of Cuba. So for Paulo Costa to not get taken down by Yoel Romero across three rounds is very impressive. Very impressive. And I think Khamzat would find it very hard, much harder than he has against 170-pounders, to take Paulo Costa down. Yeah. And on the feet, Paulo Costa hits hard as a motherfucker, man. He hits like a rock. That would be both interesting fights for Khamzat at 170 or 185 pounds. So we'll see what goes on with that.
Either way, I'm very excited for Khamzat's next fight, just as everybody else would be, as we'd assume. So we decided to make our own men's pound-for-pound top 20 list because not a whole lot, like we said, not a whole lot of – I mean, there was action going on in the MMA world, but not a whole lot, so.
And no action going on this weekend besides that Conor Benn versus Chris Eubank boxing match. So. No premier MMA card, so we decided let's fill some time. And let's do our MMA pound for pound.
I'm excited for this. It took me some time to do this yesterday. I was thinking. All
right. So we're gonna start by 20, with number 20 and work our way up. And I mentioned to PJ about this. He said this was an interesting way of looking at pound-for-pound rankings. But in my own mind, I imagine that for pound-for-pound, you take the fighter and you scale them down, no matter the weight class. If you scaled them down to, let's just say, a regular man-sized body, an Aaron Diaz-sized body, and you put them against each other, who would win in a fight? That's how I imagine pound-for-pound.
Yeah, I mean, that's one way of doing it.
So would you like to start off by giving us your number 20 through, let's say, just start by number 20.
Yeah, number 20. So the thing about this is I have two fighters down, but I have convinced myself who I'm going to choose number 20, that being the former lightweight championship contender, Mr. Justin Gaethje. He's going to come in at my number 20. I will say now that I think about it, it probably doesn't make as much sense, but I almost put Kai Kara France at number 20 because he was also a former title challenger. He was
on a win streak, though. I think it would have been justified.
Yeah. The reason I put Gaethje, the thing is, I was a little worried about Gaethje because he hasn't been absurdly active. I believe he has three fights. I think he has one fight. He fought once in 2020, once in 2021, and once this year. So it's like hard, but like he's deserving of it. He's tough.
Every time he goes out there, he puts on a show. That's for sure. So he makes it your money's worth to watch him.
Let's hear your number 20.
My number 20. Now, some might say this is a bit too early, and I even consider not including him on the list. But I had to. I could not resist not putting him on the list. As many of you know, this is my absolutely favorite fighter right at this moment. Well, about my favorite fighter at this moment, Mr. Khamzat Chimaev. Now, he only has two wins versus ranked opponents at 170 pounds, and he has yet to fight a ranked 185-pounder. But no one can disagree with the talent the man has just going off of the, four or five fights he has in the UFC?
I considered putting him as well, but yeah.
One of the most highly touted prospects in UFC history, the wrestling, the striking, he has it all. And I'm excited to see what is in the future and in store for Mr. Khamzat Chimaev. So yes, he takes number 20 in my pound-for-pound rankings. PJ, you're number 19. Who do you got?
Number 19, I have a former UFC light heavyweight champion, Mr. Jan Blachowicz. He beat
Anthony Rakic.
He just beat Rakic, even though Rakic got injured.
Snapped his leg.
I think he's deserving to be on the list. I mean, not in the top 15, which the UFC does for pound for pound. But yeah, I think I got him at number 19.
I have the exact same thing. I have Jan Blachowicz at number 19. As you said, not deserving to be in my number 15, personally. But yeah, former title holder, coming off a win, likely to be fighting for the belt either in his next fight or within his next two fights if he were to get a win. And coming in at number 18, I have the 135-pounder number one contender, Mr. TJ Dillashaw. As I said, fighting for the 135-pound title versus Aljamain Sterling coming up this month, correct? He's fighting. They're the co-main event for Oliveira versus Islam.
Yes.
Yeah. So that fight will be taking place this month. I'm a big TJ fan. Say what you want about him. He is the CEO of EPO. Yes, he got caught taking steroids. But, hey, he served his time, his two-year suspension, and, he's back at 135, where he should be. Drug tested and drug proven, not on steroids anymore. So, yeah, he makes my number 18 spot. What about you, Paul, who takes 18th place?
Oh, 18, I have Mr. Colby Covington at number 18 in my list. I think he should have been – I personally think he pound for pound should be ranked, or at least should have been ranked at some point. One would argue he hasn't. He's fought a lot of older fighters on the downside of his on the downsides of their career. But I think Colby's. I think Colby's deserving to be in there, and I think he. I mean, I don't know. The welterweight division is so tough now with you know, I mean, even Rocky now, you have to watch out for him. But, I mean, Usman, one would argue if Usman was not, did not exist in a different
era.
Yeah. Colby would be the champion right now of the 170-pound division. So I have Colby Covington coming in at number 18.
That's surprising. I would have thought you would have put him higher. Because you love that guy. But
I do, but I kept my bias out of this. My bias, I
would have not blamed you because he'll be coming up in my list. But not at the 17th spot because that honor goes to, which in retrospect, maybe I could have put him higher. But, yeah, and it's written down already. Glover Teixeira, he takes the number 17 spot on my list. Former champion, just recently lost a belt to Jiří Procházka in a fight that he was well on his way to winning, as we were talking about last weekend, I believe.
Yeah.
So, he'll be challenging for the belt again at the end of the year, it is presumed. And he takes the number 17 spot on my list. Coming in at 16, Mr. Dustin Poirier, who on the official UFC rankings, I believe, is ranked as highly as eight.
He's eight on the men's pound for pound.
There are, to put into context, there are champions who aren't even ranked as high as Dustin Poirier.
It's a little confusing why he's so high.
I mean, because he's lost his last three fights, hasn't he, PJ?
Yeah, in my book, he has. No. But coming off the loss to Oliveira, but he's got an exciting matchup versus Chandler coming up. But I also had Glover at 17.
Okay.
I was going to say, and then my number 16, which I don't like because he hasn't fought in a while, but I have Stipe Miocic at 16. I believe he's ranked ranked 15th in the official UFC men's pound for pound ranking, and I have him coming in at number 16 following his brutal, devastating knockout loss to
Francis
Ngannou. So now into the top 15 we go, which is what the UFC actually does. They do top 15. We did top 20 because why not?
Because we're bigger and better.
Because why not?
Come on.
For the entertainment. So would you like to tell me your number 15?
Yes. I have one of your favorite fighters at my 15th spot, former title challenger, Mr. Ciryl Gane.
Great minds think alike because... Not to cut you off, I also have Ciryl Gane at number 15.
Great minds do indeed. What is that, three that we have the same, exact same?
Yeah, Jan Glover.
And Jan Gane.
And Gane, yes.
Yeah, Ciryl Gane, as I said, coming off a victory versus Bam Bam Tai Tuivasa in UFC Paris, one of the biggest, what turned out to be one of the biggest cards of the year.
Very exciting fight as well.
Yes, very exciting fight. I think Gane, I was never like the biggest fan of him. PJ was always touted him very highly, but he certainly won me over with that performance because I saw a man who was willing to go through some adversity in his home country in front of his home fans, where he had every opportunity to just, you know, find a way out of that fight if he wanted to. But, you know, bit down on his mouthpiece, comes back, scores the KO over a very tough Tai Tuivasa. So, yeah, he takes the 15th spot on both me and PJ's list, apparently. Coming in at 14, though, as I had mentioned earlier, I have Colby Covington. As you said, PJ, when you were talking about him, probably would be champion if had it not been for the Kamaru Usman title reign. Extremely high level wrestler, weaponizes his pace as good as anyone I've seen in the UFC, just constantly, just always on offense, always on offense. Rarely see him take a step backwards.
Arguably the best cardio in the entire UFC.
Oh my goodness. And one of the few fighters who fights at a natural weight class for him, you know, takes that wrestling mentality with him into the octagon, in which you don't have to cut a lot of weight to preserve your cardio, your chin, which is why it's so hard to put him away, and that's why he takes my number 14 spot. What about you, Paul? Who comes in at 14 on your list?
My number 14, a guy who arguably could be a champion at the moment. He lost a decision to Mr. Adesanya in the rematch. I got Mr. Bobby Knuckles, Rob Whittaker. A lot of people think that he should be in the official men's pound for pound rankings, which he is not.
That's ridiculous.
I think he should be because, I mean, he was a round away from being the middleweight champion. And a lot of people argue that, a lot of people believe that he did beat Adesanya in the rematch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rob Whitaker is one of my favorite fighters to watch. And yeah, I have him at 14.
Yeah.
On my list.
I would agree. Very exciting fighter to watch. And I am one of those people who thinks he did beat Adesanya. Yeah. But that is because I don't really like Israel Adesanya. I will go on record saying that. And you can quote me on that because I don't like him. But moving on to the number 13 spot on my list, I have former champion, one of the greatest featherweights of all time, coming off a devastating loss to Alexander Volkanovski, Mr. Max Holloway. I think, had it not been for his previous fight versus Volkanovski, he would find himself probably in my top 10. But for any of you guys who saw his display versus Alexander Volkanovski, he was just absolutely...
I was surprised at how far ahead Volkanovski was in the fight, from the beginning all the way to the end.
Because in those first two fights, you saw very close fights, contested fights that many people argue... Holloway captured a victory.
I still think Max won the second fight. Max won the second fight.
But it was a no contest in the third fight, that's for sure. Alexander Volkanovski left no questions to be asked after that performance. Yeah. But Max Holloway, still a very, very high-level fighter. Granite chin, impossible to put him down. Slick boxing, finds himself at number 13 on my list. Paul, who do you have at 13?
I also have Max Holloway at number 13 on my list. I guess I'll move on to 12 because you covered everything about that. Coming in at number 12 for me, former title challenger at bantamweight, I have Mr. Peter Yan, who is going to be fighting one of my favorite fighters, Sean O'Malley, very soon. So yeah, I have Peter Yan. He, many people... he would have been the champion at bantamweight had he not kneed Aljo Sterling in the head while he was grounded. And then they got the rematch, and everybody in the world thought Peter Yan was going to destroy Aljo Sterling. And Aljo shocked the world, and he neutralized Peter's his boxing with a couple takedowns. And, yeah, he lost that fight. So I have... Peter Yan at number 12 on my list.
Well, if you're confused as to why I was laughing when you stated who your number 12 is, it's because I have the exact same person at number 12. Peter Yan is my number 12 spot. And much like Max Holloway, you covered all there is to do, all there is to say about Peter Yan. So I will move on to number 11, who is the sole Mexican on our list, Mr. Brandon Moreno. Former title holder, current interim champion, and soon to be involved in the quadrilogy with Davison Figueiredo coming up in January. It's really a flip of the coin between those two. First fight was a draw. Second fight went Moreno's way. Third fight went to Figgy. And we will see what happens in the fourth fight. Hopefully... this will settle the score. This will be it because I don't know.
As long as they don't tie, we're good.
Yeah, literally, as long as they don't tie, we'll be good.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody can take a fifth fight between the two.
Yeah.
All high-level fights, granted, but tough to watch guys fight five times. Well, PJ, who takes the 11th spot on your list?
My number 11. You're not going to like it. I don't even like it myself, but I have Mr. Dustin Poirier coming in at number 11. I couldn't drop him too far out because... as much as he lost to Conor all three times, don't get me wrong, but no. In all seriousness, Dustin is one of the most talented fighters, not only at lightweight, but you can argue in the entire UFC, just all around good at just about every aspect of the game, except for when he has to fight for the title.
Yeah, literally.
That's the only time he's not at his best, unfortunately. Yeah, so I have Dustin coming in at number 11. My number 10 is your number 11. I have Mr. Moreno, Brandon. I'm very excited for the quadrilogy. Only reason I really wanted Figueiredo to win the trilogy is because I just wanted to see a quadrilogy. So now, whoever wins, I'll be happy. I like Figueiredo. I like Moreno. I'm very excited to watch the quadrilogy. I know you'll be rooting for Moreno.
Why do you say that?
Well, you've mentioned quite a few times that... Brandon Moreno is one of your favorite fighters. So,
I was just making sure. I didn't know if there was any other ambitions behind your statement.
No. Not at all. Okay. Who do you have at number 10?
Well, at number 10, me and PJ had a phone call yesterday, and I remember saying I was so shocked I almost left this person off my list. I believe it was your number 14. He is my number 10, Mr. Robert Whittaker. I am very high on the Reaper. Excellent fighter, and like I said, I personally think he might have won that decision versus Israel Adesanya. Yeah.
And even if he didn't, though, he pieced up Marvin Vettori.
Oh, my goodness.
So, and Marvin Vettori's arguably, everyone also says that he could have also been champion had Izzy not existed, similar to the Usman Covington situation. But yeah, he made Vettori look bad in that
He made it look...
Yeah, cheap. I don't even disagree with you having Rob Whittaker that high, because he is... He is a very, very, very good fighter. So yeah,
but he is stuck in this weird situation where can he really fight for the title? He has two losses versus Adesanya. I don't know.
Yeah, he's gonna fight somebody. He's gonna have to fight one more.
Yeah, unfortunately, if he wants to get that third fight, he's just gonna have.
I think he could fight. I mean, if Izzy beats Pereira or Pereira, well, I guess they're gonna give Adesanya the rematch if he loses. But if Pereira loses, I mean, it could go Pereira versus Whittaker. That'd be fair.
Either way, he's gonna have to wait in line.
Or I guess he could fight the winner of Strickland versus Cannonier.
That would also be a good fight, but I think no matter who you put in front of him, barring Israel Adesanya, it'll be an easy night out for Robert Whittaker.
I agree.
High-level fighter.
I agree.
Taking my number 9 spot, though, the adversary of Brandon Moreno, Mr. Davison Figueiredo. PJ, you kind of fleshed out. We've both fleshed out the quadrilogy between the two men. And that's pretty much the only fights the two men have had. Their history. So.
Yeah. Fight. Well, yeah, Moreno fought for the interim belt. But yeah, Figueiredo, once again, he hasn't fought anybody else in between.
No,
right?
This will be his fourth straight fight against the same man.
I cannot imagine that. Like
20 straight rounds.
20 straight rounds. Well,
he got finished in the second one.
But yeah, coming at my number 9, the current light heavyweight champion of the world, I have Mr. Jiří Procházka. Coming off one of the greatest comebacks in championship history, with a submission on Glover Teixeira. I don't think anybody saw that coming, but I have him coming in at number 9 on my list. You didn't say your number 9 yet, did you?
Davison Figueiredo.
You have that was 9. Yeah. Okay, so moving on to 8. Speaking of great comebacks in championship fights, I have Mr. Leon Rocky Edwards at my number 8. I still get chills every single time I watch that, just that whole, that videos. I don't know who put that video together, like that remix of like the Rocky music behind Leon's coach yelling at Leon to pick it up. And
come on, Leon!
I'm getting the chills right now thinking about that. But yeah, I have Leon Rocky Edwards at number 8 on my pound-for-pound list.
Excellent. I actually have him a little higher ranked than that, but number 8 on my list is the paper champ himself, Mr. Aljamain Sterling. So it was said before he dismantled Peter Yan in their rematch. He certainly proved me wrong and millions around the world who thought he was going to get mauled. And he graciously won the title, took it from Peter Yan's hands, and will be defending against my number 18th pound-for-pound fighter, TJ Dillashaw, this month. Moving on to number 7, though, PJ, who do you have taking the CR7 spot?
I have, as you mentioned, I believe not here, number 9, I believe, Mr. Davison Figueiredo. We've already talked about it, but yeah. I'm excited for the quadrilogy. I have Mr. Figgy coming in at number 7.
Yeah, we can move past that. We've talked about that for a while. Number 7 on my list, I believe, was your number 9. Mr. Jiří Procházka, was that your number 9? Yes. Again, we've talked about his fight versus Glover Teixeira a handful of times. He'll be defending this upcoming December in a much-anticipated rematch. Moving on to my number 6, though, we have the former welterweight champion and personally someone who I do not like very much, Mr. Kamaru Usman, a talented fighter. Do not like whenever he has the microphone in his hands, but that's neither here nor there. PJ, who do you have in your 6th place slot?
Number 6, I have Mr. Aljamain Sterling. we've talked about him versus Peter Yan quite a bit. But yeah, I think Aljo, like people said, shocked the world mm-hmm. with his victory over Peter. And he will be defending against Dillashaw this upcoming UFC event. Mm-hmm. So wow, I'm excited for that. That's going to be a sick fight.
I believe so too.
I don't know who I got in that fight yet. I have to think about it. But
I would personally, I believe the wrestling's going to be neutralized between the two, and I believe this is a fight that's going to take place mostly on the feet. And I think with TJ's just championship experience,
it's hard to argue. But, it's hard to say anything bad about TJ Dillashaw. Yeah.
But, you know, that's a flip of a coin, I think. Yeah. You know, that could go either fighter's way.
So into the top five we go. I mean, I believe... Oh, no. You have somebody else that...
My number five, I have your number eight.
Yeah.
Mr. Leon Rocky Edwards. Now, albeit, I could see how you would have Kamaru Usman ranked ahead of Leon Edwards, having he was on a tremendous title reign, which included, what, eight? Five title defenses? Five or six?
Something like that. But also just like an 18 or 19 fights win streak anyways. But yeah.
Yeah, but listen, Leon Edwards, you know, the kick heard around the world, put him to sleep. So I can't help but just rank him just in front of Kamaru at the moment.
I'm not gonna disagree with that.
Okay. And you shouldn't, because you know what happened if you would. how about your number five, though, PJ?
My number five, I have Francis Ngannou, sadly. Not that I don't like Francis, but I was really hoping Cyril Gane would be the champion mm-hmm. of the heavyweight division. But, yeah, I have Francis.
But he's not.
No, he's not. Unfortunately, he's not. So, no. Yeah, I have Francis coming at number five. Still waiting on a... fight announcement from him, because it was rumored he was going to box Tyson Fury. He was going to fight Jon Jones. Mm. He was going to get a rematch with Francis. He was going to get Stipe. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows?
Interesting situation with him, because he doesn't. Did he resign? He hasn't resigned.
Has not resigned.
So he's a free agent technically.
By the end of the year, yes, I believe his contract will run out.
So yeah.
But he takes the number four spot on my list. He was five on yours?
Five, yes.
Okay. So, yeah, takes the number four spot on my list, as PJ mentioned. A number of rumored bouts with him. Who's to say if his next fight will be in the octagon or in the squared circle? But, PJ, who takes the number four spot on your list?
Number four is your number six, I believe, Kamaru Usman. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard to move Kamaru out of the top five, at least, mm-hmm. because, I mean, like we said, he was nobody, so I mean, I still can't believe he lost, but if he doesn't get that head kick, if Leon doesn't land that head kick, who knows if Usman ever loses again?
That's
one could argue.
Well, I would argue that Khamzat Chimaev would be fighting for the title next.
Yes, I'm still a little upset that Usman lost, just because I wanted to see Khamzat versus Usman.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I have Usman at number four on my list.
Okay, moving on to the top three. PJ, I'm going to guess the order of your top three. I'm going to say your top three.
I feel like it's very set in stone.
I think we might have the exact same one.
I'd be very surprised if
your number three is Charles Oliveira. Your number two is Israel Adesanya. And your number one is Alexander Volkanovski.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I feel like it's hard to argue any other way. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can't. I mean, yeah.
It's hard to move Izzy aside, despite what many would label his last couple fights as being a little bit boring, lackadaisical. He's, at the end of the day, he has been undisputed middleweight champion since 2019?
It's been a couple years, though.
He's had a long title reign. Charles Oliveira, the uncrowned champion of the lightweight division, puts on exciting fight after exciting fight. And I think if he were to pick up a win versus Islam Makhachev this month, that would
I'm putting him at number two on my list Izzy's getting booted down to number three if Charles wins.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a fight we cannot wait to see. UFC is making me go through
weeks. I'm nervous already.
I'm so nervous. The UFC is making us go through weeks of waiting. without any UFC cards in anticipation of this fight, and it is just building my nerves because it is the only thing I have to look forward to in my life right now. And it, the entirety of the rest of my year, the mood for the rest of my year depends on the outcome of this fight.
Yeah, I would have to agree. If Charles loses, it's going to be a rough Saturday night is what it will be. But
as rough as that Saturday night in back in January 2021, Conor versus Poirier 2.
Did that fight happen? Oh, yeah, I guess it did. Yeah, I feel like it's hard to argue the top three. I feel like it's just about undisputed at the moment. Yeah, I mean, we had a very similar – we had a lot of similarities.
Jan Glover Holloway?
Holloway at 13?
Yeah. Piotr.
Did you have – we had Gon at 15, too.
Gon at 15, yeah.
Yeah, Piotr, we had – I don't think we had any
– Yeah, no one really – in the top 10 was really interchangeable. And then but our top three, all consistent. And I think for the MMA fans out there who know fighting, they would have a very similar top three as well. Would like to point out we excluded John Jones from the list.
For
any of you John Jones Bones fanboys out there who are wondering why he's not on our list, because the guy isn't fun.
Forgot to mention that, I like John. I love John Bones Jones, but yeah, I feel like it's just weird. It'd be weird to rank him because, I mean, he hasn't fought in so long. So yeah, we decided to leave him off the list.
Yeah, unfortunate. But you guys want to give us a follow on Instagram at the Split Decision Pod. You will see our list, and then you can compare them to your own.
Send in yours.
Comment send in yours. Maybe we'll repost them. Maybe I'll even give you a tag. You guys want, a couple more followers? Follow the Split Decision Pod. We might follow you back. No, we won't. But that about wraps it up for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed our pound-for-pound rankings. And like I said, follow up with us at the Split Decision Pod on Instagram and _Roman.Garcia_ on Instagram. Please follow me, too. What about you, PJ?
_PJ_Katona_ on Instagram. Twitter, I believe, PJ_Katona. But most importantly, the Split Decision Podcast. That's what it is. The Split Decision Podcast on Instagram.
The Split Decision Pod.
Pod.
No cast. We saved you guys the extra four characters.
Extra four characters, yeah. But give that page a follow, more importantly. And I'd like to thank everyone once again for tuning in. We appreciate all the support we get.
Absolutely.
Also, shout out to IUS TV and the man behind the camera, Andrew Briggs, once again.
Andrew Briggs. You guys.
Would not be possible without him. No. So I appreciate them very much.
He is our unsung hero. Yes. Shout out, everyone. Thank you for making the first episode of the Split Decision Pod, the number one podcast on IUS TV. We're going for number two, then three, and we'll see you guys at the top.
See you at the top. Thank you very much.
Peace out.
Peace.